my friends, to another special edition of Inside Wayne Manor with Stephen Wayne and friends, the mind's eye and the voice of the beholders, the street artists of Los Angeles. First of all, thank you very much for checking out this podcast, and I hope that all of you are healthy and safe. We are getting into Chapter 2, Part 1, and some of you know this, some of you may not know this, but I've been coming to Venice Beach for a long, long time in Los Angeles, California. The next person we are about to talk to, well, I feel as though she's a part of my family. I've seen her work all over Venice Beach for a very long time. So I am very honored that we are going to speak to the one and only Jules Muck. She began writing graffiti as a teen in Europe and England in the 90s, and then back in New York City, she worked under Lady Pink for many years. Jules Muck was christened into graffiti by some of the early legends. She has been published in numerous books and graffiti publications, and she has worked on numerous collaborative projects, and she was one of the first females to paint on 106th and Park Hall of Fame in New York City. She has also painted murals for TV shows and movies, including Under the Dome, Mr. Mercedes, and It. She travels and paints often in New York, New Orleans, Texas, and anywhere else she can, but the landscape of Venice Beach remains the most mucked place in the world, as Venice is her home, and that's also where her studio is. Muck Rock is the handle she chose in Ode to Graffiti's hip-hop roots, but it has come to represent her obsession with all things music. She has painted over 5 memorial murals of Motorhead's Lemmy, including the one at the Rainbow Room, and a 40-foot tall Lemmy at Dave Grohl's recording studio in Los Angeles. Her real passion is to paint things she's not supposed to put paint on. But those opportunities are rapidly decreasing as she gets invited to paint on more and more walls and other things. She also enjoys painting her trademark humping bunnies on RVs and dressing up any manner of vehicle. She is also founding Muck Recovery, which is a nonprofit recovery house that holds meetings, promotes sober living, and mental health awareness. And if that weren't enough, she's got a Wikipedia page. So let us listen to my conversation with the legendary Muck Rock, and we can also listen to her create another masterpiece. Yeah! Well, that clicking that you hear in the background is a true artist at work who won't even stop and take a couple of minutes to talk because she has so much work to do, and I admire that. I'm talking to the queen of Venice when it comes to art and when it comes to street art, the queen of L.A., Miss Jules Muck, a.k.a. Muck Rock. And I got to tell you, I am fucking stoked to talk to you, and I am truly, truly honored.
Thanks so much. No, it's my pleasure, too. I appreciate it.
I've been coming to L.A. now for well over 10 years, close to 15 years. I don't think there's a street that I've traveled on or a person that I've talked to where haven't seen your work, hasn't seen your work, or someone who doesn't know your work. How does it feel to be a legend when it comes to street art? Because this isn't graffiti anymore. It's street art.
I know. I mean, it's funny how it morphed into something that was sought after and loved. But, you know, when I started doing this, we were the scourge of the neighborhood. We weren't valued or definitely not given any accolades or treated like celebrities. You know, and that's happened slowly during the course of my career. Things happened like Banksy releasing Exit Through the Gift Shop, you know, with that Mr. Brainwash and all these things that kind of set things in motion to become an acceptable art form.
And it definitely has become an acceptable art form. It's become a very respectable paying gig where they're asking you to come and put your art on a building and pay you.
Oh, yeah. And never mind that. I mean, people like Cause, who have paintings selling for millions of dollars. And he painted in the subways when I was a kid. He was in the train tunnels.
Let's go back to your very beginning. How long have you been doing this?
I've been spray painting since I was a young teenager, probably like 12 or 13. I definitely didn't consider it art or an artistic career. I started spray painting like most kids of my day, which was just to destroy stuff, you know, and, you know, put my name on things. I was always the new kid. I was always a foreigner. I was always an immigrant. Like, my parents sent me from England to the US to Greece, you know, to live and be the new kid, and I only really felt at home when I put my name on the wall. And that was kind of like what started it for me. And then this whole culture I noticed was happening. in New York. I started writing on stuff in Greece. I really got into it when I saw Subway Art, the book with Lady Pink in it. And when I saw Lady Pink, it was inspiring to me. I later met her and became her apprentice. You know, that was super cool.
I was going to ask you about Lady Pink and how she, you know, took you under her wing, and quite a great thing, not only for you, but for us as well, because I haven't seen any of her art, but I've seen plenty of yours. So if
I did get her to do a piece with me out here when she was visiting, she did a job for Barbie out here. And while she was here, she came down to a wall that I paint on by the circle in Venice, and she did a piece. I'm not sure if it's there anymore, but that was a few years ago. So she's painting around here, but she's more known for her contributions in New York City. And she was a subway graffiti artist that became kind of a fine artist. And she showed me the ropes. She found me painting off the train station in the Bronx. She came up on a rooftop where I was painting. And then she took me on as her apprentice, and she taught me how to do commission murals. And she was, you know, one of the first people I ever took direction from.
So now getting into all of your work here in Los Angeles, I know a lot of it has to do with music. So let's talk about some of your favorite music and some of your favorite musicians that inspire you to paint them where you paint them.
Well, I mean, I love musicians, and I've received so much support from musicians. So, I mean, I will say that I grew up in, you know, kind of an anti-establishment music culture. So I wouldn't listen to any signed bands, and I was only into independent shit. But now, you know, I've come to appreciate all different kinds of music and different kinds of musicians. And, you know, one of my favorite people who's helped me in my life and become one of my greatest friends is Paslin Chatton from the Pixies. And I've definitely painted her portrait, as well as, like, you know, other people like Dave Grohl helped me a lot and commissioned me to paint his studio for Lemmy's memorial. I painted Lemmy like so many more times than I can count. And I have, you know, a memorial up of him at the Rainbow Room also, and one somewhere in Texas, and painted him where we were both from, because he's from the same place in Stoke-on-Trent that I was born. So there's a mural that I did of him there. You know, I love musicians. I painted memorials for David Bowie when he passed. And just because I didn't realize how much it would affect me when these people, these creative people die, like, there's such a huge gaping hole, because you realize that it's over. You know, their contributions, you know, there's not going to be any new music from them. And so I get really upset, and then I paint them, just kind of as a consolation, really, just to keep it alive.
Well, it's good that you keep their spirit alive in their paintings, and I know a lot of them have survived time as I've traveled through Venice. If you could pick one of your pieces of art to take with you to a deserted island, which one would that be?
I have, like, this one piece that I have never finished. And, of course, if I was on a deserted island, I would want to be working actively on something. So there's this piece I've been working on. It's on a canvas. It's on a big canvas. It's in my studio. I've even moved with this piece. It's a rendition of Woodstock, 1969. But all the characters are different cartoons from when I was a kid, including the Muppets and the Smurfs and Rainbow Bright and, you know, the Hamburglar, and they're all these, you know, so it's a never-ending painting. I just keep adding and adding and more details and stuff, and it's a really fun one for me. So I would take that with me because I need something to do.
Going along with the music, if you could take one album with you, one piece of music inspires you more than anything else, what would that be?
There's one album that I've listened to my whole life. I swear, most people find it so annoying. It has enough songs on it, because every song is about 1 to 2 minutes long. And it's a Screeching Weasel album called Kill the Musicians. And that would be the one.
Music saves, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It got me through a lot. And that's why, like, when I met Grohl, I remember he wanted me to do the Lemmy, and he asked me, you know, how much, like, and it's a massive, massive side of a wall. But I told him, I was like, look, dude, like, I would have killed myself if it wasn't for Nirvana, you know? And your music and some of the early Foo Fighters stuff really got me through a lot. So I can't really charge you. I would typically charge someone like, you know, however many grand to do it. And he said, come get your money. And he paid me the full price. But how I felt was like, this thing, this music, like, saved my life. But, you know, good people will always pay for art. And the people that expect art for free are not really supporting artists.
That puts the wrap on part one, chapter two of Inside Wayne Manor with Stephen Wayne and friends. The mind's eye and the voice of the beholders, the street artists of Los Angeles, California. This chapter right here featuring Jules Muck, or as she's known by her tag, Muck Rock. And coming your way very soon, chapter two, part two with Jules Muck, Muck Rock. You can check her out on Instagram at Muck Rock or at JulesMuck.com. And don't forget, man, she's got a very cool organization called Muck Recovery, the nonprofit recovery house that holds meetings, promotes sober living, and mental health awareness. You can get a hold of her on all of her social media platforms as well. So that right there is very awesome. All right, now we wrap up Inside Wayne Manor with Stephen Wayne and friends. And we're going to turn things over to the studio guy to give you all the information on where you can find me and get a hold of me if you would like. But like I said, keep an eye open for chapter two, part two with the Mighty Muck Rock. Yeah! Thank you once again for choosing this podcast. Thank you very much for subscribing to this podcast. And if you're just checking it out for the first time, thank you very much for that as well. From Los Angeles, California, we will do this again very, very soon. And as always, poof!
Everything Inside Wayne Manor with Stephen Wayne and friends can be found at www.insidewaynemanor.com. Episodes, playlists, contact, social media, and more. All insidewaynemanor.com. I'm Studio Guy, and you can reach me at studioguy.net because some assholes got the .com.